Hi, this is Pastor Adam Matheny of Our Savior's Lutheran Church in Mankato. We are a member congregation of the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod that strives to embody the historic teachings of the Christian Church as found in the sacred scriptures. If you enjoy or have questions about this brief message, please get in touch with us. Our building is located at 1103 North Broad Street in Mankato. We have divine service at 8 o'clock and 10:30 on Sunday mornings, with Bible class and Sunday school between at 9:15. We also have a divine service on Wednesdays at 1:30. Again, this is Pastor Adam Matheny of Our Savior's Lutheran Church, and thanks for listening. I hope you enjoyed this brief sample of Our Savior's Lutheran Church. To learn more about our congregation, visit our website at www.oslcmankato.org. or give us a call at 507-385-2183. Thanks again for listening, and God bless you.
Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God our Father, through our risen Lord and Savior Jesus. Amen. Today's sermon text is our lesson from the Holy Gospel according to St. John, chapter 15. Let's hear it one more time. As the Father has loved me, so have I loved you. Abide in my love. If you keep my commandments, you will abide in my love, just as I have kept my Father's commandments, and abide in his love. These things I have spoken to you, that my joy may be in you, and that your joy may be full. This is my commandment, that you love one another as I have loved you. Greater love has no one than this, that someone lay down his life for his friends. You are my friends if you do what I command you. No longer do I call you servants, for the servant does not know what his master is doing. But I have called you friends, for all that I have heard from my Father I have made known to you. You did not choose me, but I chose you and appointed you, that you should go and bear fruit, and that your fruit should abide, so that whatever you ask the Father in my name, he may give it to you. These things I command you, so that you will love one another. My dear brothers and sisters, before we address what Jesus says to us here in this passage, I want you all to take a moment to put yourselves, as best you can, in the place of his apostles. Think back to the day that you first saw him. You didn't know who he was at first, though you had heard others in town talk about him. You were going about your business just like any other day when one of your co-workers pointed him out to you. "That's him," he said. "That's the teacher that everyone has been talking about. His name is Jesus, I think." You made a mental note of his face, which was nothing special, or so you thought then. But since he had a reputation as an authoritative teacher, you made a point to go and hear him teach in the synagogue. And boy, did that make a difference. The way he read from God's Word, and the way he taught, it was unlike anyone else. You can remember, even now, how his eyes flashed and his words cut to your very core. And you fondly recall how, after that first hearing, he sought you out and told you to follow him. And you did. That was just the very beginning, of course. Oh, the things you had seen and heard since that day! You can recall those miles hiked between all the towns in Galilee. All the hours spent in those synagogues listening to Jesus teach the scriptures. You can recall all the amazing things that he did, the way he fed the hungry crowds that followed him everywhere he went, the way the sick and oppressed pressed in on him looking for healing, and how he provided it for them, the way the lowly loved him, and the way the haughty hated him. All those times he mystified the crowds with his enigmatic stories, and all those times he infuriated the leadership with his criticism. You remember that special night when he spoke these words to you, that most holy of nights, that special celebration of the Passover, the night when you gathered with your Lord and only his closest followers, that glorious Passover when he deigned to stoop down and wash your feet. That surprising Passover, when he offered to each of you his own body and blood in the form of bread and wine, when he bid you all to eat and drink forgiveness itself. And of course, you remember so clearly everything that happened after that. how you walked that familiar path across the Kidron Valley to the Garden of Gethsemane, how the traitor led soldiers to that place that they might arrest the Lord, how at their appearance, his nearest followers, those that he had just called friends, fled and left him alone. Then came, of course, his sham trial, his transfer to the Romans, his humiliation and torture, and his awful death. That fearful day when your Lord died, and you were left as sheep without a shepherd, listless and hopeless. But then, what wonderful news! The amazing sight of the empty tomb! What joy, what rapture to see your Master again, to speak to your Master again! How glorious, how wonderful, how beautiful his face now appeared! And now, in light of all that, what a joy it is to think back on the words that he spoke to you on that most sacred of nights. Brothers and sisters, this is a worthwhile and a necessary exercise to practice before we discuss the text before us this morning. It is necessary because the power and the potency of Jesus' words here offered to us. It would be easy for us to latch on to any one of several statements that Jesus makes in this passage. But if we hear what he is saying apart from everything that he does over the course of Holy Week, we will almost certainly misunderstand. We might latch on to Jesus' commandment, here spoken for us, and begin to parse out ways to be sure to keep it. We might latch on to the fact that Jesus here calls us his friends, and then begin to infer some special buddy-buddy sort of intimacy with our Lord, you know, analogous to what we share with the other people that we would call friends. Or we might grab on to Jesus' repeated emphasis on the word love, and begin to think and speak about some sort of amorphous and disembodied longing that we feel for our children or our spouse, or, if we're really feeling generous, our friends and neighbors. But in each of these cases, we would be getting Jesus wrong. No. Hearing what Jesus here says in light of the events of Holy Week will bring us to one overarching conclusion about this passage. That is, when Jesus here talks about love, he means our own intentional suffering for the sake of someone else. When he commands you to love your fellow Christians as he has loved you, he is saying that you should willingly and joyfully humble yourself for the sake of everyone else in this room. You should daily drag your belly through the dirt so that other people might place their foot on your neck. This is what Jesus is here commanding us to do. Knowing that this is his plan is what makes us his friends. This way of life is what he here says will make us joyful. Because Jesus submitted to the will of God the Father and became man, because Jesus taught and performed miracles, because Jesus suffered and died, because Jesus suffered punishment for your sins, because Jesus rose from the dead, and because he ascended and sent the Holy Spirit upon us, his church, because he has loved us all in that way, he tells us here to abide in his love. Abide in his love by working hard at your homework. Do the reading. Work the problems. Even for that teacher you don't particularly like. Especially for that teacher that you don't particularly like. No matter how important or interesting you find the subject matter, no matter how much you want to do it, no matter how stupid and fruitless you find the assignment to be, abide in his love by suffering through your schoolwork for the sake of your teacher and your classmates and your parents. Jesus wants this for you so that your joy may be full. Abide in his love by training up your children in the way they should go. Change their diapers. Make them take baths. Work hard to make them filling and nutritious meals. Do the grinding and painstaking work of disciplining them. Work every day to read them the Bible and the Catechism. teach them to pray. Sing hymns around your dinner table. Work your fingers to the bone to provide them with what they need. And painstakingly, agonizingly, keep them from what they want. Abide in His love by suffering through the daunting and often thankless work of parenting for the sake of your children and your grandchildren and your society. Jesus wants this for you, so that your joy may be full. Abide in His love by reconciling yourself with everyone around you. Work at the seemingly impossible task of putting a muzzle on your tongue. Defend and speak well of everyone, even if, and especially when, they won't do the same for you. Rather than let arguments and slights divide you, speak your pain in love to those that hurt you, through what they said or did. Humble yourself in love and tell them explicitly that you forgive them. When your words and actions inflict pain on those around you, go to them. Put yourself at their mercy. Openly acknowledge that you have hurt them, even if they won't admit it, and ask them to forgive you as God in Christ has forgiven them. Share in Christ's joy by speaking the hardest words ever spoken. I was wrong. I'm sorry. Will you forgive me? Jesus wants this for you so that your joy may be full. Disciples of the Lord, none other than God Himself rejoiced to suffer for you. He made Himself humble in order to love and serve you in humility. And now that He has done this for you, He has called, in fact, He has commanded that you do the same for your brothers and sisters. Because He has made His plan plain to us, He has called us His friends. There is no question that this work is hard, but this work produces the sort of fruit that will last. And all this our Lord has given to us so that our joy may be full. May God grant you the fullness of joy from this day unto the ages of ages. Amen.
I hope you enjoyed this brief sample of Our Savior's Lutheran Church. To learn more about our congregation, visit our website at www.oslcmankato.org or give us a call at 507-385-2183. Thanks again for listening, and God bless you.